Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Go Ahead and Jump. I'd like you to start with me in Psalm 118. And some of you have this memorized, something I learned pretty young as a kid. Everybody got Psalm 118? Well, let's go down to verse 24. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Okay? I have a rendition of this, the bumper sticker I think we should have that says, this is the day the Lord has made. Don't screw it up. That's my little twist on it. But if you quoted that verse, if you knew that verse, and you woke up every day and said that, this is the day that the Lord has made. He made this day. So we, our responsibility is to what? To rejoice and to be glad in it. So how is that working out for you so far? You say, well, what's the day going to hold? It doesn't say anything about that. It doesn't matter what the day holds. He made it, and you have an option, either to rejoice and be glad in it or to complain. Now turn to Matthew chapter 5. If you jump in here, let's go down. Well, let's just start at verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, and this is the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They're all good, but this is a great one. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. There's a promise. They shall be filled. So if you have a hunger and thirst for righteousness, God will feed you. You will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those, and then you think, well, this is not getting fun now. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, if there's anything we avoid, it's persecution. And I'll read you some verses at the end about this, what I think is going on in the world, obviously going on in the world. But if you are not prepared for persecution, you are going to fall away. And I don't mean from heaven and not making heaven, but if you don't stand in the little trials, you'll never make it in the big ones. In the conversations, at work, the situations that you're confronted with, and the opinions voiced, and if you are feeling it, and the Holy Spirit says, speak, and you say, if I speak, they're going to push back. Well, join the crowd. My gosh, that's the deal. Give a reason for the hope that's within you. But what if they don't like me? You have got to get over being liked. The world is not going to like you the second you mention Jesus' name. Unless they're looking for him, they are literally against him. So be encouraged, but be prepared that you are going to be persecuted. And this says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. It's one thing to be persecuted for doing the wrong thing, but if you're persecuted for doing the right thing, then what do you get? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, if that wasn't enough, look at verse 11. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So this is coming. And if you take a stand, if you go back in the Old Testament and read any of the prophets who took a stand, horrible things happened to these people. Very difficult situations. So you may end up standing alone in some case, and you have to stand, and when it's all done, still be standing. What if they start making up stuff about you? They start lying about what you're doing at work or how you're using your time or whatever they can make up, just persecution for no other reason but being a Christian. He says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Now, this is where it gets so fun. If you'll read your Bible and study it even a little bit, you're going to find the coolest stuff you've ever seen. Look at this word, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Guess what the word exceedingly glad means? Jump for joy. It literally comes from the word that means to jump. Now, I'm a big soccer fan. I watch European, British, really football, but that's a whole nother story. And if you've ever seen a soccer game, when they score a goal, the guy will either run on a nice field, he'll either run and drop to his knees, full sprint, and slide into some kind of deal. Or in most sports in the world, if someone scores a basket, great pictures in my head of Michael Jordan scoring some kind of amazing basket, and running and just jumping in the air and a fist pump, usually a fist pump, just elation. So that is what's supposed to be going on with us when we're persecuted. Not, oh, praise you, Jesus, so we love that song, and it's a good song. It's a white song. We like white songs. Well, you know, it's not one of those crazy, crazy songs, you know. So you jump. You just something inside even. We'll get to the inside part in a minute. But when's the last time we, me, you, were persecuted and literally as soon as you could or find a spot, just run and jump, kind of fist pump in the air and go, yes, that's what's supposed to be going on. It's working. Now, what do you mean it's working? You can't get persecuted unless you're saying or doing something for Jesus. If you stay quiet, hide your light under a bushel, say nothing, act like you don't even know him, pull a Peter. Yeah, I don't know the guy, cursing by the fire. This little girl, yeah, I know, you know. You know, I told you I don't know the guy. So unless we're living in denial, then you're going to say something, and when you say something, there's going to be pushback. And if you're healthy and if things are working the way they're supposed to work, when that happens, there is a rush inside and a physical, possibly, jump. Go ahead and jump because it's coming, and it means something must be working. Now, I am not defending and talking about crazy religious people. If you are one of these nutcases that goes out there that is mean, you know, got the Bible in one hand and just waiting to thump somebody on. I mean, I grew up with these people and they literally could hold it like this and get kind of some leverage where it would wag like that. And you knew if they got coming at you, they could thump you with that Bible. In fact, I grew up watching preachers do this, you know, just like if that Bible gets loose, somebody's gonna get hurt. You don't have to be mean to get persecuted. You can speak the truth in love and be persecuted. The gospel is offensive enough. Don't be offensive in being offensive. When you get an opportunity, you say, okay, I'm going to share. Okay, Lord, you're telling me to say this. And it may be intense, but don't be mean. Don't be judgmental. Don't be rude. Don't let the enemy get a hold of you and make more trouble than there already is and drive someone even farther away. Go to Luke chapter 1. Go down to verse 38, and I'll show you a derivative of this word, this Greek word. Verse 38, then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. The angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. So the Virgin Mary going to her cousin Elizabeth, her house, Zacharias, and she greets Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the baby, same word, the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So now you got babies leaping at the sound of Mary's voice who's carrying Jesus. If Jesus gets anywhere near somebody, there ought to be some leaping that goes on. So the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. So literally babies at the sound. You say, well, you know, is this going to be an abortion sermon? No, but it's a person. You can't be responding, leaping like that for no reason. There's something going on even before a child is born. Luke 6. And this is a similar thing from Matthew chapter 5, but Luke puts it in his words. Dr. Luke here says it in his own way. Luke chapter 6, verse 20. This is Jesus speaking. Then he lifted up his eyes toward his disciples and said, blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you. Okay? Blessed are you when men hate you And when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Now, these are all for Jesus' sake, not for you being rude or some other reason. But when this happens for his sake, and by the way, this word, if hate you is not bad enough, it's literally a word that means to detest. And if you've ever been in a conversation with someone and Jesus comes up and you say whatever the Lord tells you to say, and I mean hatred, detesting, persecution, just fire comes your way, then you know what I'm talking about. You say, well, why would I want to get there? Because God has to be at work. If someone is pushing back that hard, there is a war, there's a battle of some kind. If nothing else, it's a reminder that you are in a hostile world. And too many Christians are hiding out somewhere with their little ticket, just, oh, Jesus, come today so I can get out of here. It's so scary down here. Instead of engaging the culture and having the conversations, you say, well, I don't know what I'd say. Well, study and figure out what you'd say. Be prepared. Always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that's within you. So blessed are you when men hate you. You say, well, how is that a blessing? Because if they're hating you for the right reasons, it's a blessing. It's a jumping for joy kind of blessing. When men hate you, when they exclude you. Now, this is going to be very painful. And raising kids and just pastoring a church in general, you're going to get left out. You are going to be excluded on purpose. You say, well, that doesn't feel good. It's just part of the deal. If you pick a lane and stay in that lane, somebody is not going to like that. You've got to get past being liked, being accepted, being loved, being everyone thinking you're great. Because if everybody thinks you're great, there's something probably wrong with that because everybody's not on the same side. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and revile you. And this word means a bunch of different things. Rail at, chide. It also means to taunt. Just poking at you, just trying to get you to react. Always respond, never react. Because all it takes is one time a Christian loses his mind, reacts in a situation, they go, oh, there we go. So you're Mr. Christian, and now you're doing everything we do. Swinging at somebody, getting upset, calling somebody names. They'll taunt you. And he says, for all this, we're blessed. And cast out your name as evil. Now, this is where it'll mess you up. You think, well, the other stuff's hard too. What if they start throwing your name out in an evil way or like you're an evil person? That's why they call it persecution. You say, well, this stuff's not true. What they're saying about me is not true. Let me tell you somebody else who they said a bunch of stuff about that wasn't true and who was led as a sheep to the slaughter, silently did not defend himself. You don't have to defend yourself. You got nothing to defend. Jesus could have defended himself. He didn't. You say, but I got to stand up for myself. Let Jesus do the standing. And if they attack your character, if they attack your name, his name is bigger than your name or their name. He can defend his name. And if we are really who we say we are, truth floats. It may take a while to get to the surface, but it will float. And if you can hold on and be still, in verses like vengeance is mine, says the Lord, you let God deal with those people, they'll wish you had dealt with them and not him. Keep reading. So all these things, men hate you, they exclude you, they revile you, they cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. And then what's he say to do? Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. It's a derivative of that same word. Literally leaping, just jumping for joy. Now, I'm reading all this stuff to you guys. I'm thinking, okay, when am I jumping for joy at this? I got to get better at jumping. You got to get in some spiritual shape to do this kind of jumping and practice and say, wow, that wasn't pleasant. That wasn't true. They're taunting me. They're trying to get me to react and do something and say something and get sucked into their deal. And wow, Lord, something's working. Run down a hall. You know, when I was a kid, he's running down the hall and try to jump up and touch the top of the door. Run down a hall somewhere and just try it. Leap for joy. It's working. Go to Acts chapter 16. So I'm going to read you this entire little story as part of Acts chapter 16. And it'll give you a totally different perspective, hopefully. Maybe you know the story. Read it with me anyway. Acts 16, 11. And this is Paul on his big trip. He took a few of these trips. He'd go places and he'd go back to check on them. And they were on sailing vessels, usually doing this. Verse 11, therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days, and on the Sabbath day, we went out in the city to the riverside where prayers was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul, and when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. The girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaimed to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. So you think, well, that's great. Now this possessed girl who's got these abilities is crying out. At least what she's saying is true. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. So they're not thrilled for this girl that this spirit has left her. They're upset. They've lost their profit center. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Okay, so they've been falsely accused. They've done a good thing. They're in there preaching, and they get attacked. They get persecuted, to say the least, and beaten with rods. Not whips, with rods. And look what their response is. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now, everybody in that prison, in the inner prison, because they were afraid these guys somehow would get away, they lock them up, not just in the jail, but inside the inside of the jail. And at midnight, they've been beaten. Everybody knows that. And what are these men doing? Praying and singing hymns. Is that what I'd be doing? You're in physical pain, and where do you come up with praying and singing hymns? So what's your problem? What's your situation? What's your persecution? What is it you're up against? What is your trial? And see, you say, well, but I got trials. That's not the context of any of this. What I'm talking to you today about is persecution. When the enemy comes at you and you go, wow, this is great. We suffered this for Christ's sake. So they're praying, and even better than all this, they're singing, and the prisoners were listening to them. So whether you get this or we get this or not very often, it's not just doing what you're supposed to do for your sake. The world is listening. The world is watching. They know what happens to us. They observe the persecution and go, okay, well, what's your answer going to be? What's your reaction or your response going to be to what happened to you? And when we go from where we could be in pain and angry and complaining and I quit, and if this is the kind of God he is, I'm out. If this is what he does to his children, or you start praying and singing, and they listen and go, okay, who are these people? It gets even better. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You say, well, none of that kind of stuff ever happens to me. Ask yourself this question. Do you ever even get in a situation where you can be persecuted? And if you are persecuted, what is your response or reaction? And if you have the right response, you'd be amazed at how many miraculous things start to happen around you, where God says, okay, you get it. I'm going to intervene. I'm going to show up in some big ways. Give God a chance to do what only he can do by you doing what you can do. And what's he ask us to do? Trust him. Rejoice. If you get persecuted, leap for joy, exceeding joy. Keep reading. So now the guy running the jail, because none of the prisoners had fled, and if they had, he'd be dead anyway, so he's going to kill himself. So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." And when it was day, the magistrate sent the officers, saying, "Let those men go." So the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul, saying, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans." Huge word. They had not bothered to ask, "Where are you from?" And now they've got a problem. "And have thrown us into prison, and now do they put us out secretly? No, indeed, let them come themselves and get us out." So now he's been freed from prison, but he stayed so the jailer wouldn't kill himself and get saved. And now he's been told he can leave, and he won't leave till they come acknowledge what they've done. And the officers told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. Then they came and pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. So they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. Simple story. Out of what? Out of persecution. Out of taking a stand. Out of going and doing what God tells you to do. You say, "But this could bring so much heat on me. What if I have problems? What if I lose my job?" Even if you lose your job, who is your provision? You say, "Well, what's going to happen to me?" Why don't you see what God has to say about that, what he can come up with? How'd you get the job in the first place? Now, do I think it could get to that? I'm telling you, it can and probably will get very crazy. Go to 1 John chapter 4, almost to the back. And before I read this, let me say this again. If you don't take the little stands, you will not be able to stand in the big moment. You say, "Well, how do I know when I'm supposed to stand?" If you're walking and talking with God, you have a working relationship with him, then the Holy Spirit who lives in you, if you're a Christian, will prompt you and say, "Now, let me speak." And if you shut him up and you shut him down and don't get in the middle, you say, "Well, I've avoided a problem or a confrontation or persecution." But what are you doing here then? Especially if the Holy Spirit is the one saying, you got to say something. Listen to him and be prepared. Know that it could come and then speak the word. You say, "Well, they might kick me out of my club. They might," it already says, you're going to be reviled, taunted, excluded. Terrible things can happen to you. Leap for joy. It's working. Now think about this. If Jesus died on the cross, and he did, and was buried and raised from the dead to save us, and that's what happened, and so you are confronted with that message and you go, "Wow, this is what I needed. He died for me. I get it. I'm a sinner. I need his forgiveness. I asked him to come in me, to live in me, take away my sin, forgive me my sin. And if it's so expensive and he did all that to get us saved and heaven's so great, why are we not in heaven already?" My thought has been, if the millisecond the Holy Spirit knows I got this guy, then get me out of here. Why would God, a loving God, when it is so expensive to get us and to get us into heaven, why would he leave us down here for 2 seconds longer than necessary? Because there's more to dying and going to heaven when you're a Christian. It's living a life and taking people with you.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the Talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
The world tends to leap and jump for joy when they win. We leap and jump for joy when it looks like we're losing. But that's when you're really winning. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Why? Because great is your reward where? In heaven. You say, "But what about my rewards here?" I don't care what they give you, folks. You can't take it with you. And how much they promote you, I promise you, you're going to get the promotion and go, "This didn't fix it." I can have them lined up on the stage and tell you, "Yeah, I got the promotion. That didn't fix it." Don't just let him live in you. Let him live through you. And when you have the opportunity to speak where he's saying now, then open your mouth. You're the light of the world. Don't hide that light under a bushel. where nobody can see it. Take it off. Let them see it. Be the salt. Be the light. You say, they're not going to like me. It's not you they don't like. It's him they don't like. But if they need him and they know that, it's him they love, and they end up loving you too for sharing.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.